It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, November 19th. I'm Patricia Naft. There's a new idea for Grand Junction to help keep businesses and jobs in Colorado. The City Council is looking into a foreign trade zone. It's a concept that dates back to the 1930s, but it would be a first for Grand Junction. To help explain the issues that deal with exports, economies, and duties, KVNF's Jake Ryan talks to Elizabeth Tice, the management and legislative liaison for the city.
What happens when you have a foreign trade zone is that businesses that are located inside the foreign trade zone are allowed to import materials without paying the duty at the time of import, and then they then manufacture or warehouse those materials into a final product or into another component part, and they only have to pay the duty when it is shipped into the U.S. economy. So it allows manufacturing companies to basically be able to reshore their manufacturing operations in the United States without paying the duty on the items that are imported and then turn around and exported.
So if a company needs these widgets shipped in from overseas,
correct,
they wouldn't have to pay the extra duty, the tax that they would pay for importing an object.
Mm-hmm.
That duty, that tax would then happen when it leaves this special zone that will be set up in Grand Junction?
Correct, and only if it enters the commerce of the United States. So, like, take, for example, an auto manufacturer. The auto manufacturer can import the parts that they use to manufacture the automobile, and they don't have to pay duty at the time they import it. If the automobiles are then exported and do not go into the customs area of the United States, they don't have to pay a duty at all. So it allows people to manufacture items, allows companies to manufacture items here without paying the additional duty if they're then re-exported. Does that make sense?
It does. Kind of like a almost like an international waters type of thing where it's almost as if it never really came into the U.S.?
Correct. It's very similar. And just to clarify, the action that City Council took is to put this contract on our consent calendar when City Council will formally authorize a contract. And the contract is with an attorney who specializes in this matter, and he's going to do an in-depth due diligence report as to the costs and the liabilities associated with setting up a foreign trade zone. And foreign trade zones are approved by the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of Treasury. So even if we decide that it's something that we're interested in, we still have quite a bit of paperwork and applications to muddle through.
Right. So the federal government has to give the okay for this.
Absolutely.
Is there a reason why a trade zone like this would be a bad idea?
That's the reason that we're hiring this attorney. From what we have been able to discern, foreign trade zones have a lot of advantages and provide a lot of benefits for the regional economy in which they're located. So we really need to do our due diligence and have someone help us identify what those risks are and how to mitigate them or to address them.
All right. Well, it's an interesting idea. We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
That was Elizabeth Tice talking with Jake Ryan about the proposed foreign trade zone in the city of Grand Junction. Colorado is getting another training venue for ski and snowboard athletes. This month, the Stapleton Alpine Training Venue opened in Aspen. Marcy Krivenin of Aspen Public Radio reports.
In October and November, snow sports athletes from around the world flock to Colorado training venues because of their high elevations. A new venue in Aspen has features over 35 acres for alpine racers, freestyle skiers and snowboarders, and adaptive athletes. Mark Cole directs the Alpine Valley Ski and Snowboard Club that built the venue. He says heavy snow ushered in an earlier than expected opening.
The Alpine Training Venue, we had athletes out there this past weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. And because it's man-made snow, boy, it's a real high-quality surface.
Several professional teams will train at the venue ahead of the Alpine World Championships at Vail Beaver Creek, including the U.S. ski team and the Swiss national team. I'm Marcy Krivenin in Aspen.
And finally, today is a special day if you appreciate contour lines, true north versus magnetic north, and aerial photography. Jake Ryan has more.
It's GIS Day, which stands for Geographic Information Systems. The county and city of Montrose are teaming up for the first time to celebrate the Mapping Day. Lee Brannon is with the county's GIS team.
It's an internationally recognized day out of the year where GIS departments around the world want to promote and educate the public on what GIS is and what it can do. We just started doing it this year at Montrose County, but hopefully this will be the first of many for this jurisdiction.
Lee says that GIS is a whole system of different parts that come together to accurately map an area, and in his case, Montrose County. It's like a local Google Maps, but a lot more accurate.
Well, we're sure it's more accurate because it's our data and we maintain it and we update it constantly. And we offer various layers and data themes that Google Maps or Bing Maps wouldn't have.
It turns out that this mapping can be very useful.
Oh, there's a lot of uses for it. Folks can get information about county assets or other local government assets, whether they need information on where the roads are or where county infrastructure might be, like culverts or road signs. But maybe a better thing is just parcel mapping is a big one that a lot of folks that we answer to, they want to know where are their property boundaries, whose property is next to mine, and if there's properties that are split or combined, somebody has to keep track of all those changes, and we edit that data, and we will make maps for folks that request it to show them their new property boundary if some change was made. But they can also go onto our interactive online viewer to look up addresses and get information about floodplains or zoning. We've got lots of different layers on the various maps that just pertain to things that we think the public would want to see and get information about.
He says that sometimes people can get really excited about the maps.
There definitely are moments when folks are amazed in a good way by if they walk into our office to ask for maybe some kind of a map, maybe of their property. They usually get really excited just to see their property shown on an aerial photograph and how that relates to the streams that run by the property or the ditches, that kind of thing. But I think a lot of them are really keen on the interactive viewers that we have online.
Each county on the Western Slope has a GIS program. To see if your county has an interactive map, visit the county's website. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Up next, Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.